You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer. Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast.
I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And we're here to give you the tools and knowledge to invest both your time and money better.
If you're new, feel free to jump in with our Starter Pack series that aired in early 2022, or our Shares or ETF mini series.
We've got plenty to share with you in today's episode, but if you want to catch us on socials,
head to Rask Australia on Insta and Twitter.
I'm also found at Kate Campbell AUS on Insta.
And I'm Owen Rask AU on Insta.
Just beware of the fake accounts. We'll never DM you about trading strategies or crypto. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's probably not us.
And just one final heads up before we get into the show. This podcast contains general financial information only.
Welcome back to the Australian Finance Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Campbell, and today I'm joined by my fellow Brain Hacks co-host, Evan Lucas. This is a series talking about financial psychology and all of those things that are really important and impact the way we invest, we save, we pay off debt. Evan, welcome back for 2024.
Yeah, it is. Welcome back. I mean, it's been a while.
You haven't been on the show for ages.
No, I know. And I do apologize. I mean, that sort of summer period, that Christmas, New Year period where you just sort of go slightly incognito. I actually turned my brain off. I don't know about you or what your listeners are doing, but I walked away for probably a good 6 weeks just to say, nope, I need to recharge. I need to step back. So what have I been doing? A lot of not much. And it's been fantastic.
This is probably the longest break you've had in a
long
decade.
Time. Yeah, a long time. So I know I needed to do it. I know we spoke about this at the end of last year about, you know, evaluating what is worth you. My phrase that I always use, which is, you know, what I want, when I want, how I want. What I wanted was to actually just go, I need to stop thinking about work and need to actually think about the family. So that's what I did.
And you had your finances in a good space. So you had a bit of breathing room to take a bit more time away.
I did, yes. However, I put the family finances under a huge amount of stress because we've decided to do a renovation this year at a time where obviously cost of living is quite high, where interest rates are really high. So that's the next thing to think about. But again, we'll talk about this in this episode because we're going to go through the five money, you know, tips for 2024 about, you know, managing your time, managing your money, and also, you know, putting them in goal structures, et cetera. So our goal is to do this this year, despite the stress that it's going to put us under, because it's what we want to do, and that want overrides the financial stress that comes with it. We are in a good financial position. We've spoken about that in 2023. So 2024 is going to be a little bit different for me, which is going to be fun. I am going to be in negative, you know, actual cash flow, and I know that. Well, of course you are. I mean, as soon as you start talking about renovations, you're talking about a lot of money. So I know that, but I've budgeted for that, my positioning in terms of what I'm doing and how, you know, my wife and I do that. So it's going to be fun. You, I mean, I know you've spoken to the listeners about it, but come on, tell me what you've been up to.
Well, I managed to take 3 weeks off to just relax and reset. So that was really-
So how many books was that?
I took about 20 away with me and maybe I read 6.
God, it'd be amazing to have that time.
Yes, I was also really enjoying audiobooks and podcasts, going for long walks and runs every morning. So that was something that I don't normally get to do as much of during the weekdays.
Yep.
So that was just gorgeous to do that on the beach.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's that new thing they talk about, which you know, having that ability to actually think. What is it? Functional imagery training. Have you heard of that? And so the whole concept of it is basically, and we're getting into the episode now, is imagining your unique behavior and approach to those values that comes with running. Like, why is running important to you? What about running makes you do it, both positively and negatively, so that you can actually envisage. It's not, you know, materializing, but it's envisaging why. So functional imagery training is something that I've started to come about because you've spoken about this before. You know, we always love using slightly sport analogies. You and I quite like to run.
That's the extent of my sports skills.
Yeah. So for me, and I know we're going slightly off topic here, but I've started to use this to, I'm going to do HYROX. Have you heard of HYROX?
No.
So HYROX is out of the States. It's basically CrossFit racing. So you do 8 1-kilometer runs and then 8 stations in between. So you run for a K and then the first station is a ski erg for 1,000 meters. Then you run another K, another station, so on and so forth.
This really sounds unfun, Evan.
It sounds, but so it's not about the, it is fun to me to some extent. Mm. It's more about the accomplishment, right? And again, this gets back to, you know, what in your world is the 5 things that you want to do for 2024, not just in money. There's the achievement part of it. I think that's what you and I always sort of underlying what we talk about is money achievement is great. And it's certainly what you and I are about. But money is just a tool to do X for Z or A for B. So for me, this is justifying the amount of money I spend on fitness, which is about roughly $40 a week.
Yep.
That I am now planning towards the 29th and 30th of June this year to do HYROX.
Oh, cool. So you've got a target to work towards. Correct. Now and you're working backwards from there to work out what you're going to do each week.
But getting back to what I said to you, the FIT principle, which is a guy out of the UK from Plymouth University, he puts this whole idea about basically getting that functional imagery training in your mind. So as you go and do your run, it's not a chore. It's an actual thing that's part of you. It's part of your identity. It's part of your core values, as he refers to it. And for that reason, again, what we're talking about here is, you know, identifying what looks like enough for you. So let's get into the, you know, the number one sort of thing for the 5 things to talk about this year is what is enough and what does it look like? And I think that's part of it is that particularly this year and going into the real financy side, cost of living is coming. You can feel it. You can see it.
Yeah, you know, some of the research I saw last week from Aware Super was saying 9 in 10 Aussies are stressed and worried about their finances right now, and that is up-to-date research.
Yeah, and for the first time, what's also starting to happen is you can feel it in your business. And why that concerns me, business is now starting to say no, right? No, we don't have the budget for that. No, we can't do this. No, we don't know where things are going. No, no. And when business starts doing that, that's when you get that really rapid increase in concern from a consumer point of view that, you know, there is a little bit more of a threat to unemployment. There is a little bit more of a threat that the incomes that you currently have may peak out or, you know, be cut. So that's the interesting thing about it. So again, what is enough? And looking at what enough is I for right now, I think that's the interesting thing is that understanding that the next 6 months will be tricky and it's about changing that mindset from scarcity, right? It's about changing that mindset from going, I don't have enough, I need to do more, I need to find more, I need to keep working, to going, actually, I've got quite a reasonable amount right now. I'm doing a reasonable amount. It's not just about money. It's not just about, you know, doing that. It's about what is my holistic sort of capital, as I call it, emotion, belief, effort, then money as well. And that, therefore, I think is what you need to start identifying is what is actually enough for you for this year, but also into the future. Things will get better. Don't get me wrong. There's always an optimism to what goes on. Things always get better. We know that. COVID's a great example. Things looked horrible and they got better quite quickly. Same thing will happen right now. But that, I think, is one of the most important things is understanding that enough can actually help you get through this period.
Because there's a lot of things in our lives that we can't control, things outside our circle of control. We might not be able to control what our company does and whether they don't offer any pay rises to employees this year, whether they cut staff, but we can control what our desires are. We can sort of control what we want and what we're happy with. And can we be happy with what we've got right now instead of saying, I'll be happy when XYZ, because so many of us fall into that trap all the time.
Yeah, we do. And that's, I think that's also, you know, asking that, it's a really simple question, but what do you actually want? I mean, it's the question that I think at the moment, if you talk to a lot of people, what they're getting that question back from, you know, the place that they're employed by, what do you want from the job that you do? That question, most people actually don't think about that because it's not something that you normally have to stop and think about. Again, you and I talked about in this series around making choices is something that human beings don't actually technically want to do because we just want to be able to, you know, almost subliminally walk through life.
And making choices eliminates options, which we don't like.
Yeah, correct. And so your favorite thing, which is analysis paralysis, choice has that, right? You can then overanalyze, what do I want actually to, is this what I want? No, I don't. So as soon as you start thinking like that, that's where we're getting away from what we need to do, which is getting away from, again, having that autonomy. We'll go back to that concept, the autonomy to do what you want, when you want, how you want, which as we said at the start of this whole series, is the number one surveyed thing by the American Journal of Psychology. We know that. And financially, that helps even more so. Financial autonomy is, you know, incredible from that perspective. So asking yourself, what do I actually want, is a start point. Understanding, don't freak yourself out if you don't know the answer. Because
and often you have to peel a few layers back. So you might go, oh, I want a really big house. Oh, I'd love to be able to travel business class. What is it about those things that you like? Is it the freedom? Is it space? Is it feeling like you're successful? How can you get some of those elements with what you've already got?
Yeah.
And what small changes can you make today rather than thinking about something that, well, you can't buy the huge house in the fanciest suburb right now, but maybe there's some ways that you can have a little bit more space or move somewhere different or get out more in nature or have a weekend away somewhere that's more comfortable for you.
Yeah, so the house one's always the fascinating one because psychologically you want what you have right now. So particularly if you're younger, one of the most common things is that, yeah, I'd basically like to buy a house in the area that I lived, grew up in the same size as my parents' place, which is a great goal. But it's not a goal that's going to happen off the bat for the majority. Some people can, but not all. And again, the way I answer that question is go and talk to your parents because I promise you they're going to tell you that the house that you're currently living in, if you are younger and about to move out and all that, was not the house they started with.
Yeah.
And not only is it not the house they started with, they probably, the house before the one you're in now may not have been the one they started with. In fact, it may have been 2, 3, or 4 properties before you're in the one you're under right now. And I think that's also slightly lost on this is that the reason I say that as the example, it's like any investing, house and property assets we know in Australia is absolutely loved. People are obsessed with it. That's not going to change despite all the political machinations that are going on right now. It's more, okay, can you look at your property from twofold, the enjoyment you get out of living in the asset that you are paying off through a mortgage, but understanding that it's also an asset that will make you money over time. So, I mean, I can put my hand up right now. I've been through 3 houses. And the one we're in now is the one that we're going to suggest is going to be forever, which is why we're putting the money into it to renovate it. But the house before that, which was a house that we loved it. But I had a goal in that, and that was to live in it for 7 years. And almost to the day, just by pure chance, that's what happened. So we put a bit of time and we put a bit of effort into it. We got to live in it renovated for 3 and a bit years and it was fantastic. But we did realize that we had used that asset twofold for what we wanted for a lifestyle, but for what we also wanted from an investment.
All right. The second tip we've got for you this year is to manage the fear of missing out. And that impacts all of us when it comes to investing, whether it's looking at what our friend has that we can't afford right now, whether it's looking at people going on international trips this year and going, that's not really in my budget this year. How are we going to deal with that this year, Evan?
Yeah. So I think this is a great second point because particularly over the last 18 months, what you've referred to, particularly the travel one, has been fascinating. Qantas has dubbed revenge travel. So why they call it revenge travel is making up for the time lost during COVID, forgetting that travel is great, but it's expensive. And it is, you and I would say this the same thing, you know, you with buying happiness and the whole concept, travel no doubt gives you that absolute, you know, experience that will stay with you. So there is absolutely a value to it, absolutely. But what the FOMO side of it can cause, overspending, going on a holiday that is above a realistic budget, by all means do it. We're not saying not, but what we're saying is realistic budget. And what's really started to come to the fore, it was already there, but it's really ramped up in the last, you know, couple of years particularly, is, you know, blogging about it on social media, right? So this is what I want to talk about with this FOMO stuff, because it gets back into the what I call ACC, availability, confirmation, and conformity biases, right?
And that's the trouble with social media and the news. We're often seeing a very small slither of the population. So it looks like everyone's in Europe this year, but actually most people are not in Europe, but we are only seeing a small slither of that.
Yeah, and they're putting, and that, again, sort of projecting that lifestyle, right? So projecting what you want and identifying with that kind of lifestyle is very attractive. And we know about all the studies that are showing this, is that human beings aren't actually designed to be connected with that amount of people. I mean, there's a lot of studies that show, particularly in chimps, that once you go above about 100 in the tribe of chimps, they split, right? And human beings are the same. Some would argue right now in the US, for example, that the tribes between the, you know, the political parties is actually the same concept. So putting all of your life on social media, and although that's ironic because you and I are going to put this on social media, there is a you know, concern that the attention it brings, that understanding that also innately we are attracted to envy. We are innately attracted to the concept of, why do they have what I don't? How can I get what they have with what I have? How can I also, you know, fit into that social structure? I want to look like I'm this person living this certain lifestyle. All of those things, they are the FOMO traps. And that is availability bias. You've no idea what they're doing, right? And you've no idea how much money they're spending on either, right? They could be really heavily in debt, but their lifestyle that you see in 90 seconds tells you otherwise. That's what this whole concept, why you and I talk about this, is that identify what's enough for you, right? Comes back to the FOMO as well. And you know, the confirmation bias of, that confirms what I want. I want to do that, and ignoring all of the other cues. You've got to start asking yourself, come back to your plan, come back to your, as we said before, what you actually want and what's enough for you.
And this applies to investing as well. We can get really excited when we see people posting about different companies or ETFs online on forums. Maybe you saw an article in the newspaper about it. So really thinking about it, if you're seeing a lot of hype about a company, don't just jump in. Take a moment to do some research, to think about it. Also, coming back to your long-term investment plan. If investing in a speculative mining company isn't part of your investment plan, really take a moment to think and go, is this going to take me off track? Or maybe this is something I want to do with my satellite portion of my portfolio. I want to put a little bit in there because I'm super interested, but I'm not going to go too far off track from my investment plan. And also thinking, if you are a long-term investor, but you're getting sort of sidetracked by something that's really bright and shiny right now, thinking, is that the right investment for me? It looks really great right now, but is it going to be good for long-term goals that I have?
Yeah. And right now, I mean, the one that's catching a lot of attention, and exactly what you're talking about, which will skew you off, exactly what Kate just said. Look at the rise of information that's coming back about cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin's having this, you know, 2-year renaissance. That happens with all things, right? There's always cyclicality to it. You know, people got really, really excited about lithium and really, really excited about nickel, and look what's happened to that. So again, this is having that structure behind you, which brings us to the third one, you know, things like technology to help you overcome the biases that Kate and I have just talked about, is that if you can start automating, if you can start taking away that almost impulsiveness, I know that's a really strong word, but it is almost impulsiveness to make choices that are outside your wants. Because again, that's what this is. If you're getting attracted to the availability bias that you're seeing on social media about a lifestyle, it's breaking away from it. So this is where we want to talk about technology.
Yes, there's a lot of ways that technology can harm our financial goals, but then we can also use it to help us. So that could be automating your savings goals, so you don't even have to think about it. It's happening in the background each month, that automatic payment of $200 goes from your pay account into your savings account for your next trip overseas. Or you've automated your investments through different platforms available. We've talked about micro investing and some of the automated investment options before. Or even just setting up all of your bills, the things that you can't really negotiate very easily on a monthly basis, set them up so they pay on autopilot and take some of that decision fatigue off your plate where you go, oh, I have to remember to pay this again this month and next month and next month.
Yeah. And the ones that are starting to really come out that are quite fascinating is giving you visual cues to how you're actually improving your life, right? So they are now giving you the ability to put in your income, your expenses, your assets, the income that comes with that, and actually showing you that while you're sleeping, you're making money. Now, it may only be on a 24-hour time period a dollar, right? That sounds very small, but when you compound that per hour, per day, with the assets you have, with the work that you're doing, it'll actually start to show you not only does working, yeah, it helps, but doesn't necessarily get you ahead. It actually starts to really trigger you going, I need to actually make sure that my assets are growing. Gets you away from getting caught with that availability bias, gets you away from making that spending decision to go, actually, what I'm attracted to is making my money move at a speed that I want it to move at. And that's where technology comes in. Take that time, because what we're also finding with the technology that Kate and I are talking about is that it starts to develop habits. If you start putting them in on a regular basis and you start like filling out a journal, that's all this is. If you're filling out some form of app, and that technology to overcome your bias to, you know, make the decisions for you, it'll develop a habit. It also develops the concept of abundance, right? So you can actually see on the page your wealth growing, your decisions that are good coming to the fore. You start to become much more optimistic about what you're doing. And so it's more than just, you know, eliminating the paradox of choice. It's about also developing really good, not just financial habits, but the habits that then come with all things in life of getting into that sort of routine.
Yeah, and I know people really love habit tracking apps for other things they're wanting to do, like make sure they drink enough water every day, or they want to start doing some push-ups each day. Like they use a habit tracker app, and that can be really good if that is something that works for you. But even if it's just as simple as writing it down on a piece of paper, what you did that day, and then you can track your progress over time, because then you can see those small incremental steps that you make each day really add up. They don't feel like much at the time, but they are really important. So saving $5 today doesn't feel like much, but over a year, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and therefore it brings to number four, which is refine your regrets, right? So if you can reframe your regrets, get away from, you know, breaking your goals, breaking your spending patterns, breaking your long-term financial, you know, movement, that's the next one. And evidence shows that, you know, this is where more choice can actually lead to the regret, more exposure to things, more knowledge, more resources at your disposal is actually starting to really stretch our ability to make, you know, refined decisions, because there's so much input, there's so much different ports, there's so much conflicting data. And again, those biases that you and I keep talking about, they will start to absolutely peak out, because they will then start to go, there's so much choice. If I use my biases to refine those choices, and you do get caught on the availability of what you think is the right choice, or you get caught in a confirmation bias, that's where regrets come about. So that's the next thing to talk about.
Yeah, and I speak to so many people who regret they didn't start saving earlier, or regret going into debt, regret not investing when they were 18 and didn't have dependents and lots of expenses. But the thing is, that is proof that you've changed and you've learned and you've grown as a person. And I think it's really important not to judge yourself too harshly for the resources you had at the time. So yes, it would have been great if we all bought a house when we were born, but we didn't have those resources back then. We didn't have the knowledge. We didn't have the skills. I've been seeing that going around a bit on social media, because it's like, yeah, if I bought a house when I was in the womb, I'd be doing really well now. But that doesn't happen. And most of us can't start investing at 18. We don't have the extra
cash. And most of us don't want to. And what I mean by that, like, this is the Warren Buffett sort of paradigm, as I call it. We love to talk about Warren Buffett. You know, it's obviously somebody that a lot of us, particularly listening, and you know, someone like Owen and I and yourself, you know, really look up to a person that's done this. But what he's done is what he wanted to do. It's not necessarily what you wanted to do. And yes, if you invested like Warren Buffett, yeah, you could be a billionaire like he is. But remember, the man's 95 now. He's just turned 95. He started investing at 12, right? 12, and he is now at those billions of dollars, which realistically only came when he was over 68. Like, that's a long, long time. So there is also an argument to be made that if you're a part of, you know, regret is to, again, compare yourself to something that isn't comparable. Because comparing yourself to Warren Buffett is not comparable. What he did and how he did it and what he did, that's what he wanted. The majority, in fact, I'd say almost everybody doesn't want to do that because you still want to use your money, right? You still need to use it to allow you to do the things that make you happy, as your term is, or as I say, you know, doing what you want when you want. So don't also have regret of going, oh, if I had bought the house, I would have this amount of money now. Or if I had have invested in 2019 or March 2020, but when COVID happened, look where I'd be. That there is hindsight. Yeah. And hindsight makes no sense because it's not real, yes. Right? It's a visualization of what if. Your opportunity cost that you're talking about there as well is not lost because the opportunities that you took also did things for the right reasons. So that's also part of this in terms of reframing your regret. Do not dwell on the past. This also falls into sunk costs, right? If you are continuously making the same wrong decision and sinking costs into something that's not correct, time, effort, emotion, and money, that is just the same, right? So you can't think about the past because you can't change it, but you can change the now and the future. So the saving that you can make now of getting rid of that sunk cost, or the regret that you have from not doing that, then today's the day to start because there's never a right time.
It's much more powerful to think about the opportunity ahead of you. And the final one we've got for you, which is much easier said than done, is avoiding short-term thinking traps. And this is throughout every area of our lives, whether it's saving up for a purchase and deciding instead we want to buy it now on the credit card instead of saving up for it. It might be investing our first $500 this week and suddenly going, why have I not doubled my money overnight? It's not working. I'm going to stop investing. Or it could be just thinking, oh, I'm not making any progress, so there's no point.
This is the issue of delayed gratification. This is almost it perfectly described in one word. So well done in terms of that. So that's the thing. Again, don't beat yourself up on this. This gets back to reframing regret. You are making a decision that will take time to come off, right? Because we all want instant gratification. It's why spending has such more of a kick initially than obviously doing something like investing or saving, because you get the gratification immediately rather than delayed, which is to say, I have to wait to see a return. Don't forget, the average return of the ASX 200 is between 7 and 9% per annum for 365 days, right? And realistically, the compound average return over 5 years for most simple investments will probably be about 15 to 20%. That is a long time, 5 years, for what seems like a small amount. It's not. 20% return is a good return. It's a really good return. And it's about developing that ability to deal with delayed gratification, which means, again, technology, we've already talked about as number three, stick it there, but look at it as you need, but don't touch it, right? Yeah. Or again, once you make that decision, make yourself say, I'm not going to check this decision now for a period of time. Most a good idea is at least a month, right? So if you do make an investment decision, you don't look at it for a month. I know that's really hard, but that's one of the ways to get away from it from the point of view that it doesn't also mean that you'll lead to a bad decision of going, it's not working, I'm going to get out.
Yeah. And just think about other areas in your life where you have spent months or years working towards something. It might have been a university course or a promotion or something that was really important to you, a particular fitness goal that you've spent years working towards it to get the end result. Like, think about all those times when you have practiced delayed gratification in the past and what you've learned from it, what worked for you, what didn't work for you, and how can you apply some of those lessons of the good and the bad to your saving and investing goals. What can you bring into your finances that will help you work towards long-term saving goals, invest for 10 plus years, save for that house deposit, save for the holiday?
Yeah. And I also look at it from another perspective as well, which is at the moment, I think it's about those habits, right? So if we can get into habits of actually going, I need to be thinking about today, tomorrow, and beyond. When it comes to finances, you've got to be looking at it from the habit of going, you don't go and buy a house, let's keep using the houses we have through this episode, expecting to sell it tomorrow. you don't buy a house to expect to sell it at the end of this year. In fact, you probably don't expect to sell the house almost at all. When you visualize that, you're buying this house because you want to live in it. It's the thing for you and blah, blah, blah. The concept of selling it on the day you buy it is almost, you know, it's completely fictional in your mind. Everything else in your finances should be similar in terms of how you look at it. So it's about, in my view anyway, understanding that future intentions is your own creation, yes, but there are ways to also make sure that that future intention is the future. It's not necessarily instantaneous. So that's how I look at it with regards to, I always try and use the house concept. You are not going to sell your house tomorrow. You're not going to sell your car tomorrow if you bought it today. There's no difference with all of the financial decisions you make.
Yeah. And asking yourself, what actions are you taking today to more closely align who you are right now with the person you want to become? Because you're only going to get to that point and get to that goal by taking small actions today in that direction. So, Evan, I think we better just quickly run through everything, wrap it up. And
it's been a long one today.
Yes. Well, first Swap Brain Hacks episode for the year. We have plenty more in the catalog. And next month, we're going to be talking about sticking to the plan and avoiding the trap of tinkering, which is very important. I don't know if that's the word you use, but I'll just quickly wrap up. So our five tips for you to take away this year when it comes to your finances: identify what enough looks like for you. The second one is managing the fear of missing out and comparison and what you see online, which doesn't always and doesn't usually represent reality and what everyone else is doing. Number three is using technology, whether it's a savings automation plan, investing, deleting the brokerage app off your phone, or a tool to track your net worth to help overcome all of these behavioral biases and help you build really strong habits this year. Number four is reframing your regrets as evidence that you have grown, that you have got more knowledge and resources than you used to have, but you can use that as a tool to move forward and think about the opportunity in your future. And the fifth one is avoiding short-term thinking traps, practicing delayed gratification. It's hard, but it is rewarding when you finally save up for that trip or invest your first $100. Well, Evan, thank you so much for joining me in this episode of Brain Hacks, and welcome back for the year. I'm glad you got a good holiday over the break.
Thank you very much. And it's been great to go back. Looking forward to doing these a lot this year. There's a lot that's going to come up, I know, with regards to that clash between your behavior and your money. 2024 is going to be an interesting year. So looking forward to this. Thanks for having me back.
Wonderful. Well, if you have any episode suggestions for our Brain Hack series with Evan, click the link in the show notes, let us know, share it with a friend, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast. We hope you learned something new and were able to take one thing away from this episode.
If you're keen to learn more, head on over to Rask Education and take one of our free money and investing courses. You could even become a Rask Core member for less than your Netflix subscription each month. And don't forget to subscribe for new episodes in your inbox every week.
Plus, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and send any questions our way via the link in the description. And before we go on, did this podcast contain personal financial advice just for me?
Absolutely not, Kate. Our podcast actually contains general financial information only. What that means is the information does not take into account your financial needs, goals, objectives, or even your situation. So because of that, it's important that you consider if the information is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on it.
If that all sounds a bit confusing or you're still working out what your needs are, it's a great idea to consult a licensed and trusted financial planner. And don't forget to do your own research.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10. And to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. across our podcast, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high-growth strategy focuses on longer-term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already, over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian property podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So, we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASC users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASC community uses each and every day. Number 8, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number 9, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASC YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASC network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASC Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we're on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASC Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASC Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.